Hey friends, welcome back to Unpolished But Called. I'm Catherine Schaefer, your host, and today we're talking about one of the most quietly shocking people Jesus ever invited into his inner circle. Not because he was loud, not because he was dramatic, but because of who he used to be before he followed Jesus. Simon the Zealot. Even the name alone carries weight. Zealot wasn't a personality quirk. It wasn't a cute nickname. It meant something very specific, very intense, and very dangerous. Simon belonged to a group of people who believed violence was justified if it meant overthrowing Rome. They believed the kingdom of God would arrive through force, through resistance, through bloodshed if necessary. And Jesus looked at that man, at all of that rage, conviction, and fire, and said, "Follow me." That choice alone should make all of us pause. Because Simon wasn't confused. He wasn't casually wrong. He was passionately committed to the wrong solution. And somehow Jesus didn't see him as a liability. He saw him as redeemable. If you've ever held strong opinions, deep convictions, or intense beliefs that didn't fully line up with Jesus yet, this story is for us. Simon doesn't get much airtime in scripture, but his background speaks loudly if we listen closely. Being a zealot meant living in constant opposition to the ruling power. It meant seeing Rome not just as inconvenient, but as evil. It meant believing that obedience to God required resistance, not submission. The zealots were fueled by anger, injustice, and the deep longing for freedom. And honestly, some of that makes sense. Oppression does something to the human heart. It sharpens it, hardens it, narrows the imagination until force feels like the only language left. Simon didn't wake up one morning wanting to be extreme. That fire was shaped over time, fed by injustice and frustration and the belief that God needed help fixing the world. And here's where it gets uncomfortable in the best way. That mindset isn't ancient. We recognize it. We've all had moments where we believed we were defending truth, when we were really defending control. Where we felt justified in our anger because the cause felt righteous. Where we confused passion for obedience. Where we thought God needed us to fight harder instead of trust deeper. Simon shows us that Jesus meets people inside their convictions, not after they've cleaned them up. When Jesus calls Simon, there's no recorded argument, no debate, no long explanation, just an invitation. And Simon leaves behind a worldview built on resistance and follows the Messiah who talks about loving enemies. And that alone tells us something extraordinary happened in that encounter. Following Jesus didn't immediately erase Simon's intensity. It redirected it. And that's an important distinction, because Jesus rarely removes our strongest traits. He transforms them. Simon didn't stop caring about justice. He didn't stop longing for God's kingdom. What changed was how he believed that kingdom would come. And this is where Simon becomes deeply relatable to us. Many of us come to Jesus with ideas already formed. We don't arrive neutral. We bring opinions, experiences, disappointments, political lenses, cultural assumptions, and emotional baggage. We bring certainty, fear, anger we think is holy because it feels justified. Jesus doesn't say, "Come back when you've sorted all that out." No, he says, "Come with me. We'll walk it out together." Simon had to walk beside Matthew, a former tax collector who worked for Rome. That alone should tell us how radical Jesus' community was. One man funded oppression, another wanted to overthrow it. Jesus put them at the same table. Can you imagine the tension? Yet, there's no record of Jesus separating them. No special accommodations, no footnotes explaining how they avoided each other. They learned to follow Jesus together. That's discipleship in real time. Simon had to watch Jesus refuse violence again and again. He watched Jesus heal Roman servants. He watched Jesus choose surrender over retaliation. He watched Jesus talk about a kingdom not built by force, but by sacrifice. And slowly, quietly, Simon stayed. That matters more than we realize. Transformation often looks less like a dramatic moment and more like choosing not to leave when our assumptions are challenged. Simon didn't storm off when Jesus refused to fight. He didn't quit when the kingdom didn't arrive the way he expected. He stayed long enough for his understanding to change. And that's where many of us struggle. We love Jesus until he contradicts us. We follow him until obedience feels like loss. We worship him until he asks us to lay down something we were certain he wanted us to carry. Simon teaches us that faith isn't proven by intensity. It's proven by endurance. He had to relearn power, redefine victory, let go of the idea that God's kingdom would look impressive by worldly standards. That kind of reshaping doesn't happen overnight. It happens through proximity, through listening, watching Jesus choose a cross instead of a crown. Simon's zeal didn't disappear. It softened into devotion. And that gives us hope. Because if Jesus could take an extremist and turn him into a disciple of peace, then there's room for all of us to be reshaped too. Simon didn't stop caring deeply. He stopped believing force was the answer. And that's a lesson many of us are still learning. So after the resurrection, Simon's story doesn't suddenly become loud or dramatic. There's no spotlight moment where we see him preaching to thousands or performing headline-worthy miracles. And that absence is actually part of the point. By the time Jesus rises from the grave, Simon has already been changed in the deepest ways. The man who once believed the kingdom of God would arrive through force is now standing in a room with other believers, waiting, not plotting, not pushing, demanding, but trusting. That alone tells us how far he's come. The resurrection reframed everything Simon thought he knew about power. If Jesus could defeat death without raising an army, then everything Simon once believed about overthrowing Rome had to be re-examined. Resurrection didn't validate violence, it dismantled it. The kingdom Simon longed for arrived, just not in the way he imagined, and certainly not on the timeline he expected. That's a tension many of us recognize. We come to Jesus with expectations about how God should move, how justice should unfold, how change should happen. We assume the solution will look like strength, speed, or control. And then Jesus shows us something quieter, slower, costlier. Something that requires trust instead of dominance. And Simon stayed long enough to let that truth settle into his bones. After Pentecost, when the disciples are sent out, Simon fades further into the background of Scripture. But that doesn't mean he faded out of faithfulness. Tradition tells us Simon carried the gospel far beyond Jerusalem. Some accounts place him preaching in Egypt, others in Persia, and some alongside Jude. The details vary, but the consistency remains. Simon didn't retreat. He didn't disengage. He didn't return to old ways when following Jesus became difficult. That matters. Because the easiest thing for someone like Simon would have been to go back, to return to the familiar clarity of black and white thinking, to slip back into causes that offered immediate results. But instead, he committed to the slower, quieter work of discipleship. The kind of work where you don't always see fruit right away. The kind of obedience that doesn't trend. The kind of faith that doesn't look impressive but lasts. There's something deeply humbling about Simon's later life. No recognition, no legacy, speeches, no written letters where we can quote. Just steady faithfulness shaped by years of walking with Jesus. And that speaks to those of us who are tired of performative faith. Some of us don't need bigger platforms. We need deeper roots. We don't need louder voices. We need truer ones. Simon reminds us that transformation doesn't require visibility. It requires surrender. And tradition tells us Simon eventually died as a martyr. Some accounts say he was killed for his faith, possibly by execution, though the exact details are uncertain. What we do know is that he didn't die as a revolutionary fighting Rome. He died as a follower of Jesus, committed to a kingdom not built by violence or fear. And that contrast is everything. Simon didn't just change beliefs. He changed allegiances. He laid down the need to win at all costs and embraced faithfulness even when it costs him everything. And that's not a small shift. That's a complete reorientation of the soul. And this is where Simon's story presses gently but firmly against our own lives. Many of us carry strong convictions, opinions shaped by pain, beliefs hardened by experience. We don't always realize how tightly we hold them until Jesus asks us to loosen our grip. Simon's journey reminds us that following Jesus often requires letting go of solutions that once felt righteous. Not because justice doesn't matter, but because God's way of bringing it does. We live in a world that rewards outrage, that equates certainty with strength, that applauds the loudest voice in the room. But Simon shows us another way, a way where conviction is refined into humility and passion is shaped into perseverance. And that kind of transformation doesn't happen overnight. It happens through daily choices, through staying when it's uncomfortable, listening when we'd rather speak, trusting God's timing when we want immediate results. Simon's faith matured not because he lost his fire, but because he learned where to aim it. And maybe that's what many of us need most right now. Not less passion, but better direction. Not quieter convictions, but surrendered ones. Not the absence of zeal, but the presence of trust. Jesus didn't recruit Simon by accident. He didn't overlook his intensity or hope it would fade. He saw exactly who Simon was and invited him anyway. That invitation still stands. For those of us who feel strongly, for those of us who wrestle with anger we don't always know what to do with, who care deeply about justice but struggle with patience, for those of us learning that God's kingdom rarely arrives the way we expect. Simon's life reminds us that Jesus doesn't ask us to become someone else. He asks us to follow him closely enough to be changed. And sometimes the most powerful testimony isn't what we say. It's what we're willing to lay down. Simon laid down a sword and picked up a cross. That choice shaped everything. So thank you for spending this time with me on Unpolished But Called. Simon the Zealot reminds us that Jesus welcomes us exactly as we are, even when our convictions are messy, intense, or unfinished, and then patiently reshapes us through relationship, not force. If this episode resonated with you, I'd love for you to follow and subscribe so you don't miss any more episodes, the final episode in our December Disciple series. And if you'd like to support this work, explore devotionals, or find resources for your own walk with God, you can visit katherineschaefer.com. Everything lives there in one place. But most of all, thank you for showing up, for listening, for staying curious about how Jesus is still transforming ordinary people into faithful ones. So until next time, keep walking with Him. Even when the way feels slower than you hoped, the kingdom is still coming.